May I ask everybody in the house to look right this way? May I ask you to let me help you this morning? I know that God will help you through what I'm going to say if you will listen carefully. You know the story, often told. Job was a mature, upright, godly man. You recall how that Satan came and accused Job to God and told God that Job was wealthy and in good health and had 10 children and a lovely family, and sure, he'd serve him. But Satan told God, he said, you just put him to the test and you make him suffer. I'll guarantee you he won't stand the test. You know what I want to be? I want to be the kind of person that stands the test. I really do. Whatever test comes, I want to stand it. I want to stand up under it. I don't want to be the kind of guy that folds when the test comes. Folds when the burden comes. I want to be the kind of guy that stands the test. And so, you know the story. One day, a messenger came to Job and announced to him that all of his oxen, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys were all taken, destroyed. The Sabaeans had come. But here's something we never say. I've never heard any preacher say this, and I'm sure I never said it. But it said not only were the donkeys and the oxen destroyed, but it said the servants were killed. And I knew that was true, but never realized the significance of that. That'd be like these men on the platform having their lives taken. Job's servants, those who cared for the oxen and the asses, they were killed. What an awful, awful thing. But that wasn't the worst thing that happened to Job. One day, a messenger came and said to Job, who had 7,000 sheep, he said, a fire came and destroyed all of your sheep. That isn't all. All of the servants who cared for the sheep have been killed. Now here's Job. Lost his donkeys, lost his oxen, lost his sheep, and his faithful, loyal servants who cared for them. That wasn't the worst thing that happened to Job. One day, a messenger came and said, Job, your 3,000 camels have also been killed, taken. The Chaldeans came and took them. And all of that, their servants and caretakers have been killed. Job had lost his earthly, worldly possessions. Let me liken that to something. Somebody comes and says, Brother Hiles, City Baptist High School's been burned, and so have all the teachers. They come the next little while later and they say, a messenger says, Brother Hiles, the schools at Baptist City have all been destroyed by a tornado, and all the teachers and students are gone too. Somebody comes along and says, a little while later and says, Hiles Anderson College, all the buildings have been leveled by a great fire. And all the teachers, workers, and buildings are destroyed. Don't you understand? Job lost his oxen, his donkeys, his camels, his sheep, and all the people that worked for him as his servants in these areas. But that wasn't the worst thing that happened to Job. One day, his children were in the oldest son's house having a meal together. A messenger came and said to Job, Job, a wind has come from the wilderness. And that wind has caved in the house of your oldest son. And all of your children are dead, all 10. Now, folks, think about that. I was thinking about my mother this morning, and this being the third anniversary of her graduation to heaven. And I was thinking about the fact that she lost her first two children. Job and his wife lost all 10. Riches gone. Servants gone. Children dead. Can you imagine the funeral service? 10 caskets lined up across the front. Can you imagine Job and his wife coming by and viewing 10 dead bodies? But that isn't the worst thing that happened to Job. Job's wife came to him. Job, well, first his health was taken. Bible says great boils came across his body. You couldn't touch one place anywhere on Job's body. Well, what had a boil? From the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. To gain some kind of relief, he went down to the city garbage dump and sat there in the cold, burning coals or embers of the city garbage dump. Got what they call a potsherd in the Bible, nothing more than much like a knife. He got that knife and he scraped his body, scraping the corruption that was running and oozing from those boils off his body. That's not the worst thing that happened to Job. His wife came to him and she said, why don't you just curse God and die? Now, wait a minute. She's wanting her husband to die. She didn't want to put up with him, with a sick husband. She won't put up with somebody that didn't have any money. Riches gone. Health gone. She didn't want to be his nurse. Oh, she just cursed God and die. But that wasn't the worst thing that happened to Job. Job had some men he thought were his friends. They came to him. One by one, they came and explained to him that he was being punished for his sins, or he wasn't deep enough in his spiritual experience with God, or he hadn't had enough mountaintop experiences. And God, are you listening? God was punishing Job, they said. I mean, lost his wealth, lost his servants, lost his children, lost his health, lost his wife, lost his best friends. But that wasn't the worst thing that happened to Job. Look at chapter 23 of Job. And verse 8, Job said, behold, I go forward, but he, God, is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. Now keep your Bibles open there and look this way. Job said, I can't find God. And that is the worst thing that happened to Job. It's bad enough to say goodbye to your 10 children, but if you can't find God, I want to tell you something, folks. Worst thing that'll ever happen to you is for you not be able to find God. Worst thing that's happened to this nation is not the homosexual crowd, though that's wicked. The worst thing that's happened to this nation is not the liquor traffic, though it's vile. The worst thing that's happened to this nation is not the abortion traffic, though it's murder. The worst thing that's happened to this nation is we've lost the glimpse of God. Job said, I can't find him, can't see him. He said, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Job said, I can't see God. My children are gone. My wife. My health.
riches, my friends. I don't have anything. But the worst thing is, I can't see God.
The worst thing that could happen to you this morning is for you not to know the true and the living God. The worst thing that could happen to you this morning is not to get AIDS. Brother, if you got AIDS and that turns you to God, then that'd be the best thing that ever happened to you. I'm saying the worst thing about anybody's life is if somehow he does not have presence of God. What did Job do? I want to talk to you just about 20 minutes on what Job did. First thing he did, Job said he's there anyhow. Can't see him? Look at it. Look at it again. Keep your Bibles open there. Look at verse 8 again. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but he, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, look here, where he doth work. Huh? Job said, he's there. He's working. But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself. God, Job said, okay. Look at me now. Job said, okay. I can't see him. I've lost everything. My riches, my servants, my children, my health, my wealth, my wife, my friends, and even the presence of God, I can't see him. I can't perceive him. I go forward and can't see him. I go backward and can't see him. I look on my left hand and can't see him. Look at my right hand and can't see him. I'm talking to folks this morning who are right in the same spot. I mean, it's you can't see your future. You cannot see your hand in front of your face. And you have, your heart is broken this morning because of burdens and heartaches. And you can't see him. Do what Job did. Job said, I can't see him. But bless God, he's there anyway. God's there this morning. It may be he's hiding himself for a while. It may be he's hidden himself for a season. Let me tell you something, brother. Your God is still there. It may be that clouds have caused you unable to see him. It may be the darkness and the midnight of burdens and heartaches and problems and sorrows and complexities and unanswered questions have caused God to be visible. But let me tell you something. While you can't see him, believe he's there. Sometimes when I hurt, I cannot see him. Bless God, I know he's there. Sometimes when I preach, I cannot see him. Thank God, I know he's there. I was thinking this morning early about my mama. And I remembered the day that Daddy walked out of the house and never came back to live. My mother and I were alone. Mother called me in the front room on Monday morning and said, your daddy has something to tell you. And I sat down in my... My mother said, your daddy is leaving us today. I got on my knees and begged him to stay, but he cursed me as he walked over my body, and he was drunk. He said he was not going to come back ever. He didn't. And I remember that night, I couldn't sleep, and for many nights, for months, I couldn't sleep. I had a big alarm clock went off every hour, and every hour it would wake me up. It was next door to us. Somebody had it, and I couldn't sleep. And I remember many a night, the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe in the wee hours, I couldn't sleep, and I was scared. And I'd tiptoe. Mama, we only had two rooms. Mama slept in one. I slept in the other. I remember I'd tiptoe into Mother's room. It was dark, and I couldn't see her. I had to know she was there. And I remember how I'd put my hand out, and I'd touch her body in the wee hours of the morning. And I remember how that made me feel so secure. I couldn't see her, but I know she was there. I'm talking to folks this morning whose hearts are breaking, and I'm talking to folks this morning, you can't see him. You can't see him for the tears. You can't see him for the clouds. You can't see him for the storm. You can't see him for the darkness. But let me tell you, reach out, touch him. He's there. Hallelujah. Thank God. He's there. He's there. Job said, everything's gone. Worst thing is, I can't see him. But he said, okay, when I can't see him, he's there. Second thing I want you to notice, look at verse number 10 of our chapter. Verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take, And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Look at me. Job said, number one, I can't see him. Worst thing that's happened, I can't see him. Number one, he said, what to do when I can't see him? First is, realize he's there. Second is, he knows the way. He knows the way. Job said, I don't know the way. I don't even know what to do. My servants, hundreds of them, I just attended their funeral services. My 10 children lie in graves that are freshly turned, and my wife wants me to die, and my friends have forsaken me, and here I sit in the ash heap scraping my running sores with a piece of metal or a knife. And now then, I can't even see God. But he said, he knows the way. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, world with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I need, wherever I be, still 'tis my God that leadeth me. The other day I read a little story about a man who was dreaming. And he was dreaming that he had seen his life, the footprints of his life. And maybe you've heard this story. This man was dreaming, and he was watching the footprints, and God was with him, and how God had led him throughout his life. And there were four footprints, and his and God's. And then in his dream, he came to a place where there were only two footprints, and he thought, that's not fair. God left me. And so he looked up and he said, dear God, there are four footprints, mine and yours, but as I kept on dreaming, I just saw the two footprints. Why did you leave me? God said, I didn't leave you. I had to pick you up and carry you. Those are my footprints. Job said, I can't see. Everything is gone. And I can't even see God. What do you do when you can't see God? What do you do when heaven is turned to brass? What do you do when you can't feel His presence anymore? Number one, Job said, believe He's there. Number two, believe and follow His steps. And know He knows the way. He knows the way. And that leads me to verse 11. Look at verse 11, please. My foot hath held His steps. Verse 10 said, He knoweth the way. Verse 11 said, my foot hath held His steps. He said, I'm still walking in the path. I'm just taking the next step. Now let's look at me a minute. I'm going to repeat a story that I've told you before because it illustrates exactly what I'm saying. I was out west. Oh, it's been a year or so ago, maybe longer. A pastor came to me who looked at me and he said to Brother Hiles, I've considered you my pastor for many years. And he said, could I talk to you now as my pastor? And I said, yes, you may. He put his head right there on that shoulder and began to cry uncontrollably. He said, Brother Hiles, he said, my oldest daughter, teenager, I think he said about 16. He said, she's not married, but she's pregnant. And he said, Brother Hiles, I don't think I can walk in the pulpit next Sunday morning. And I said, oh, yes, you can too. He said, preacher, what can I preach on if nothing else? I said, preach on His grace is sufficient for you. He said, I can't do it. How can I walk in the pulpit next Sunday morning? I said, first thing you do Sunday morning is get up. Next thing you do is you bathe. Next thing you do is you dress. Next thing you do is you eat. If you can. Next thing you do is get in your car. Next thing you do is drive to church. Next thing you do is walk behind the pulpit. Next thing you do is stand up. Take it one step at a time. But how can I do it? You just do it. How can I keep going? You just keep going. How can I take it? You just take it. That's what you do. Job said, I don't know the way. I can't even see Him. But I believe He's there. And I also believe He knows the way. And he said, I'm going to follow Him. I'm just going to take the next step. I was out across the path of that preacher several months later. It may have been a whole number of months. Same preacher. He looked at me and said, Brother Hiles, could I talk to you and be my pastor again? I said, yes. He said, my heart is torn in two. He said, my second daughter
teenage daughter is not married and she's pregnant. He said, I'm my oldest girl, oldest children, both of my girls are pregnant, neither one of them married. He said, Brother Hiles, I don't understand it.
And I looked at him and I said, my brother, I don't either. And I said, my soul, with both of your girls pregnant now, and you're not, and neither one of them married. I said, how are you going to walk in the pulpit next Sunday morning? He smiled through his tears. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is wake up. Next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to bathe. Next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to dress. Next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to eat if I can. And next thing I'm going to do is go to the car. And next thing I'm going to do is drive it to church. And the next thing I'm going to do is get behind that pulpit. Next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to preach. And that's what you do if you can't see the God today. And if you can't seem like you can't hear His voice. And you can't feel Him and you can't hear or see Him. And to you, He's invisible. You look before you, He's not there. You look behind you, He's not there. Look on your right hand, He's not there. Look on your left hand, He's not there. What can you do? First thing you can do, believe He's there. He's there. Second thing, believe He knows the way. Third thing, follow. Follow as He leads. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. Job said, neither have I gone back from that the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Look at me. Next thing you do, you live on his word. Job said, I lived on his word. Job said, my donkeys are gone and the servants that cared for them. My oxen are gone and the servants that cared for them. My sheep are gone, and the servants that cared for them. My camels are gone, and the servants that cared for them. My children are gone, and the servants that cared for them. My health is gone, and I sit here in the city dump with corruption running from boils all over my body. My wife doesn't want me to live. She wishes I'd die. My friends have forsaken me, and I can't see God. What are you going to do, Job? First thing I'm going to do is believe He's there. Second thing I'm going to do, I'm going to believe He knows the way. Third thing I'm going to do, one step at a time, I'm going to follow. And the fourth thing I'm going to do, I'm going to live in the book. I'm going to live in the book. The other day I was in my room watching television and the news was on and then somebody interviewed Oral Roberts' son. And he said all of a sudden, he said, hold it, hold it. I have a word coming from the Lord. I went over and grabbed my big old Bible and waved it at him and I said, so do I. Except I got a real one. Inspired by God. Not inspired by onions on a hamburger. Not inspired by a $7 million offering or I'd have died. Inspired word for word by God. You can't see this morning if the heartache is so heavy. You can't see through the tears, through the shadows, through the darkness, through the clouds. Believe He's there. Believe He knows the way. Follow His way and live in His book. Live in it. Verse number 12. Again. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of His lips. He said, I've obeyed Him. Folks, listen to me. When you get backslidden a little bit, don't stop serving God. When all of a sudden you can't feel His presence and don't enjoy the Bible like you used to, don't quit serving God. You're not supposed to read the Bible because you enjoy it. You're supposed to read it because He said read it. You're not supposed to pray because it's fun. You're supposed to pray because He said to pray. Not supposed to go soul winning because it's clever and fun. You're supposed to go soul winning because He says to go soul winning. Listen, in the dark time, when the shadows are there, and you look to your front and can't see Him, the back and can't see Him, left and can't see Him, right and can't see Him, keep on serving Him. Job said, I still believe He's there. Can't see Him, but I still believe He's there. Job said, I believe He knows the way. Job said, I'm going to follow. Job said, I'm going to stay in His Word. Job said, I'm going to keep obeying His commandments. There are two types of people. All of us have burdens. All of us have reversals. All of us have heartaches. All of us have setbacks. Number one is the type who says, I can't see Him and I quit. The other says, I can't see Him, but I'm going to keep going. Did you know you're not the first person to ever had a broken heart? And did you know that the best way in the world to see Him again is keep going? And then Job said, look at verse 14. I love this verse. I used it the other day in the sermon. Job said, for He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Now look at me. That's the last thing Job said. He said, everything is gone. My riches, but that's not the worst. My children, but that's not the worst. My servants, but that's not the worst. My wife, but that's not the worst. My health, but that's not the worst. My friends, but that's not the worst. The worst thing is, I can't see God. I mean, look, if I could just see God, I could take all of this, but I can't see God. What you going to do, Job? I'm going to believe He's there. I'm going to believe He knows the way. I'm going to follow that way. I'm going to live in His Word. And I am going to obey His commandments and keep serving Him. And then last he says, I'm going to accept what happened to me as an appointment from God. He said, I think what that means. That means that when that servant came and said to Job, Your oxen are gone and your donkeys are gone, and so are there the servants who took care of them. Job said, that's just keeping an appointment God had for me. It's an appointment of God. My secretary gives me a list of things when I'm in town that I'm supposed to do that day. Appointments I have that day. She puts the appointments down there. God gave Job an appointment list. Said, Job, you got an appointment. Job said, when they came and told me that the fire had destroyed 700 sheep and all of the servants that cared for them, Job said, that's one of God's appointments for me. God made that appointment. And when they came and said, the Chaldeans have come and taken your camels and the servants, that's God's appointment for me. When they came and said, all the children are dead, He said, I'm going to believe that was God's appointment. When he came and they came and his wife came and said, won't you just die? Curse God and die! Don't you understand what she was saying? She was defying God and her husband. She was saying, God is not good and I don't want you to live. There's not a man in the world who doesn't have the fear I'm about to mention. Not a one. There's not a man in the world who's middle-aged or older what doesn't have the fear that someday he'll be an invalid and have to be pushed around by someone care for him. Now, wait a minute. Job's sick. Job may never get to work again. He may be an invalid the rest of his life. Who's going to push his wheelchair? His children? No, they're dead. His servants? No, they're dead. Put him in a rest home. He can't afford it. Money's all gone. But his wife will. She wants him to die. And Job said, I can't even see God. I have a letter in my pocket. We send out reminders to college people who've been in our college and haven't paid their bills. They still owe us some money, and I got this letter the other day. Dear Dr. Hiles, this was a letter we'd sent to a Charles Bradford who used to go to our college. This is from Gary and Sylvia Rich. Dear Dr. Hiles, I'm writing in regards to the past due account of Charles W. Bradford. We received a copy of the letter that you sent to Charles in October. I want to say first that I've never read a sweeter request for a past due bill in my life. It made me wish that I could pay his bill, pay the bill for Charles. It made me wish it too. After reading the enclosed clippings, you will know that Charles cannot pay the bill for himself. Article from the Sandpoint Daily Bee, North Idaho, remains identified as man from Oklahoma. A decomposed body discovered May 20th near Clark Fork has been identified as that of Charles W. Bradford, 31. The body was discovered about 10 miles east of Clark Fork. The body was decomposed. Probably been dead for 2.5 years. 357 caliber magnum that had been fired once was found next to the body, as well as a Bible turned to Psalm 23. He used to sit right here. 2.5 years. A dog had come and taken a part of his skull, and that's how they found the body. A dog came and took a part of his skull, and the dog took them back to the body, and they found body decomposed 2.5 years, just a skeleton body there. He used to sit right here in these pews. I wonder if I didn't comfort him enough. I wonder why I failed. Let him know that God's there even if you can't see him. I wonder why I failed. I compare that to a letter I got from Brother Fist the other day. Darlene, his wife, had passed away just a few weeks ago. And he said, Brother Hiles, he said, I and the children found some things after Darlene's funeral. She knew she was dying, and so he said she wrote letters to me and to each of the children. And she wrote us letters to let us know that everything's all right and that she loves us very, very much. Three years ago today, I went to O'Hara Field. Mother was near death. My mother had made me promise her two things. Mother had made me promise her that I would not cancel any speaking engagement because of her death or funeral. And she asked me before she died to preach her funeral service. I never disobeyed my mother. I mean that. I don't ever recall it. I believe, honestly, I believe if you could see the records in heaven today, I don't think you'd find it. After I was old enough to know she was telling me something to do, I never disobeyed my mother. My mother told me to do two things, and I promised her I would. Not cancel an engagement because of her death, and also to preach her funeral. 3 years ago, this afternoon, about right now, I was at O'Hara Field. I was flying down to Charleston, South Carolina, where I was going to preach for the State Convention of Christian School Teachers and Educators that night, on a Thursday night, and also the next morning. I picked up the telephone, as I did for 18 consecutive years, and called Mother from the airport right before I boarded the plane to tell her I loved her. The last thing I did for 18 years was call my mother from the airport right before I walked to the plane and said, Mama, I love you. I love you, Mama. That morning, I picked up the telephone to O'Hara Field. I called the hospital. I'd forgotten what nurse was on duty. I wish one of you nurses would remind me which one it was, but I'd forgotten which one. And I said to the nurse, I said, is Mama conscious today? And she said, no, Brother Hiles, your mother's can't live but a little while. She's dying. Her blood pressure, I think she said, is 40 over 30. She said, however, if you get here, if you come in a hurry, I believe I can keep her alive a couple of hours. It's about an hour and 15-minute drive from O'Hara Field to the college clinic. And she said, I believe I can keep her alive if you get here, if you'll come quickly. And I said, nurse, I can't come. She said, what do you mean you can't come? And I said, because I promised Mama that I would not cancel a speaking engagement because of her death. And I'm preaching tonight in Charleston, South Carolina. She said, Brother Hiles, if you ever see your mother alive again, you're going to have to come now. I said, you want to bet? I'll see her alive again. I said, put the phone up close to her ear, please. She put the phone up close to Mama's ear. And I shouted as loud as I could shout till I stopped traffic all over that end of O'Hara Field.
I love you, Mama! Mama! I love you!
And hung up the plane, got on the phone, got on the airplane. 15 minutes before I was to go preach that night, my sister called me and said, Jack, Mother's gone to heaven. We all gathered around her and we were all singing as Mother went to heaven. I don't know whether it was Earlene or the person that came to get me that night, but somebody asked me immediately, almost, how do you feel? And I said, I feel obedient. Obedient. When I walked to sit down from this pulpit, after I preached her funeral, I thought I was going to die. I really did. And I went to my room that night after having preached in Kentucky after the funeral. I preached that night, and the next morning, September 24th, I stayed awake till the wee hours, and at midnight, the clock struck midnight. It was my 25th September. It was my 58th birthday. And I couldn't see God. But I knew He was there. And I knew He knows the way. And I tried to follow it. And I tried to stay in His book. And I tried to obey Him. And I accepted it as God's appointment. But the day came, and Job saw God again. And the day will come when you'll see Him again, if you'll follow the simple little outline from Job, chapter number 23, verse number 8 through verse number 14. Our Heavenly Father,